I was in summer camp many, many, many years ago. And one of the things we did was swim. And I was taught how to tread water. Has anybody here ever tread water? Okay. If you're not familiar with it, you have to be in water that you can't stand in. Yeah, you have to be in water. But water that you're not standing on the bottom of the, you know, their feet aren't touching anything. And you're having to use your arms and your legs to keep buoyant, to keep above your head above water so you can breathe. It's actually a good strategy for safety if you were to be in a capsized boat or whatever. But the problem is that I'm made of rocks. And so that was quite an effort. It was actually more of an effort for me than to just try to swim. But nevertheless, I learned the process of treading water. And you're using all of your energy to try to make sure that you can breathe. Obviously, if you're in dire straits, treading water at some point becomes of no use. And what you're hoping for is to be rescued. What would be great is if a lifeguard saw you and came towards you with all of their skills and understanding and took care of you, rescued you. When we realize truly that we cannot save ourselves, but must rely on God to save us by His grace, is the first time and beginning of seeing ourselves as God sees us. And it's only in truly seeing ourselves as God sees us that we can know how to treat others, all others, even those who do not believe. You see, I've given an analogy here before where Christ is like our lifeguard, in that we actually could work all we want to save ourselves when it comes to eternity, it comes to salvation, but it would never be enough because we could not endure. We need help. And the way we are given help, we all know, comes through repentance, baptism, and receiving God's Spirit. And that's how Christ helps us. We can spend our time in this life knowing what we know, looking down on other people's ignorance of what we know, and even arguing with them as to kind of prove what is right. We can embrace an intrinsic quality of the gospel message instead and speak reconciliation to the world. The same reconciliation we have already been given. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. We of the faith have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he then expects us to do what he's done for us. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So the actual process that Christ went through was for everybody, even if everybody doesn't know it yet. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So how do I speak reconciliation to this world? Well, the Great Commission does not actually require reconciliation be the outcome right now. But the declaration that Christ has redeemed mankind, that the kingdom of God is coming, and that all have the opportunity to be in that kingdom, just so happens to be very, very good news that opens the door to reconciliation, even if that does not happen at this time. It's God's declaration of what he is doing, and we happen to have already experienced it. So we do know what he means. Let's turn to Matthew. Well, we don't have to turn there, but Matthew 24, verse 14 reads, by Jesus' own words, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Because, see, even if they don't respond to the invitation yet, it does still say to them what God is doing. It witnesses what he is doing. So we could say we are advertising to the world that we know every person needs this. But beyond a witness, and the reason we know is that any particular person can only choose to be reconciled to God through Christ by first hearing that gospel. The book of Ephesians sure expresses this quite well. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. In him, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We're here as an example of what God can do. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. There was a response to this reconciliation. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is where treading water goes away, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, you and I, knowing we believe, because we have been witnessed to, can then know that this is possible for others. You know, we are the weak. In general, I'm not saying everybody here is weak, but I know I am. The weak of the world, okay? And God is using us. So some of whom are also in this very room with us today. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5. You don't have to go there. Just going to do one verse real quickly. First John chapter 4, verse 6, actually. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. So when we witness, we know that someone can hear and then know God too. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this, and this, therefore, that's a witness to them. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So in this preparing the gospel for others and giving it to others, some of you might remember way back in the 70s, the Fabergé shampoo commercials, you know. I told two friends. They told two friends. And, you know, the pictures just keep, you know, screen full of faces by the time. Well, we can't know what the proportion of scale will be, but people can only find out about God's way of life through God's people in his word, sharing his word. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, reading in verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, that concept of treading water, I might mention, it doesn't mean you completely quit doing that in this life. If you can imagine, treading water is sort of like forgetting to rely on God. Not realizing it, you know, usually under stress. And so we start trying to keep ourselves up again. We might even be trying to prove something to God. You know, this treading water and not treading water has nothing to do about what we do. We do what is right. But a person can be treading water doing right, and they don't actually see themselves as being in a relationship with God. They see themselves as wanting one, or wanting to prove that they can have one. So going further, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I'm actually sharing with you some of the gospel message today. This is some of the things we can dwell on. So I would ask that God please grant us the full and ever-present realization that we are not called to tread water, to spend our lives in a constant struggle and debate over what is true, trying to prove our Christian worth by overcoming our own, trying to prove to the unbelieving over and over what is right and what is wrong. Let us see the grace given to us by what it is, so that we can focus on the joy that should exude from us because we know what is true and are relying on God's Spirit in us to lead us to always do what is true. We are frail, like I said. Paul just laments his humanity to us. I'm not going there today, but it's like, wretched man that I am, because you are in a struggle. There's no doubt the struggle doesn't continue, okay? But you are experiencing your future by the grace of God as you struggle to overcome because you trust God to help you. You are given God's Spirit to do that. So there's a different perspective. It's not that you're trying to prove anything. You want to be better because you love what God is and what God does. You want to be that way. And so we want to be that example to those who may not know. And that is so hard, because as far as I can tell, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world. How do I behave towards the people? Because their sins are sins. We need to declare what sin is so that we can understand what truth is. We can only understand God's righteousness by getting that sin exposed and not, you know, kind of hunkering down and hiding. They need to know. But let's make sure we're not attacking people. At this point, as I draw this discourse to a close, I would like to end with some verses that help express the joy of salvation, which is the title, Joy of Salvation, or Expressing Our Joy. Things we can focus on and be thankful for, even feeling encouraged by the hope it provided to those who have gone before us. In this room, we've lost several friends recently, brothers and sisters. And we can always find fault with one another, sure. But you can also always find people's contribution, their strength, their good example. And I could go through some of these people, the example they've given me that showed they believed, that showed they were so happy to know. They wanted to be here, for instance, no matter what. I mean, like, some were so sick, and yet they still wanted to be here. To me, that's an example, because I'm not sure they needed to do that. They were very, very sick. But what I did see was what was important to them. And that was extremely encouraging. Some were just so easy to get along with. They never said a bad word about anybody. You know, and these are examples to us. They weren't preaching the gospel in the sense of, let's go to this verse and let's see what God's doing and what he's going to do. We need to know those things. But you don't have to do those things to preach the gospel. Just show people how God works in you. The good things he is developing in you, what are your strengths? If I can find one, I'll use mine. We've got to try. But we've also got his support. We've got his guidance, his spirit to lead and change us. So I probably won't go through all of these scriptures. I'll just go through this one here to finish things off. In Revelation 21, verse 3, it reads, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." This is like the fulfillment of reconciliation. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life to him who thirsts." Freely to him who thirsts. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son."